The guy that they got to play Richard Speck too was so good. That scene with that bird, holy shit.
See, in Hannibal, a bird flew out of a man who was inside of a horse.
Right.
Ah, that's like a turducken of horse.
That was great. As far as serial killer shows
sounds
go.
Sounds like Inception.
Layers. Layers of animals sewn into other animals.
Yeah, I don't know.
God, Jesus Christ.
It's too late for me to wrap my head around that. Kissel just like did like a Hercules style.
The following is a Mediocre Movie Club production.
Welcome back to the Mediocre Movie Club podcast. We're here tonight to discuss the second season of Stranger Things, currently streaming on Netflix. I'm John Kissel, and with me tonight is Ashley Keller.
Hey.
Bobby Schmidt.
Hello, Atlanta.
And superfan Megan Norfleet.
For those keeping count, still not in the club.
Megan said, in my presence in the last week, I don't care about movies.
So
in
much.
So many words.
I said
to be
so
fair,
much.
Neither does the club. So
yeah, she fits right in.
That's over and done. The people in the club are in. People trying to get into the club should be like, you know what? I could do without one of the three letters in your name. We are only discussing the first three episodes of Stranger Things, so this will be spoiler free.
Can we guarantee that?
We'll do our best.
There you go.
Okay. If we say anything. Take it out.
Yeah, just let me know.
Yeah. We'll do our best.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Put some nicely timed bleeps in there.
That sounds like a lot of work. To find the exact spot in GarageBand where the spoiler is. I feel like I would just chop the whole thing out instead of beeping it. First thing, before we get into new characters and plot and all this other stuff, if you guys that have seen further, if you could like think back to a week or so ago before, when you were fresh, like what did you want from the season of Stranger Things? Ashley?
I remember when we finished the first season and we kind of had said we didn't really need anything else. So I didn't really have any expectations, honestly. I was just hoping that it lived up to the first season.
Or you would like to be sold on just the idea of a second season.
Yeah, I would have been fine without one. I think it could have been a standalone situation, but I was okay with them having a second one. I just didn't want them to ruin it. That sounds really pessimistic, but I just didn't want it to be one of those, it shouldn't have had a sequel and they ruined the first season.
Megan?
So for me, I was most interested in the Eleven backstory and the potential, I'm sure we'll get into this, but like finding Eight and like finding another version of her.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
That was what I was most interested in, kind of learning more about the LSD experiments in the lab, and kind of what was going on to make Eleven who she was. That's what I was looking for the most.
Bobby?
I am here for nostalgia factor. So, really, I mean, I enjoyed the
show.
They're
pitching you a nice flat strike right down the middle.
Right. I was like 3 or 4 when all this is going on. I'm an 80s child of Indiana. And so a lot of this stuff is... my childhood, right? So
yes.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
And I mean, I wasn't in on the pod last time, but I mean, I talked about it with John and he echoed it. Like, it's not a great show for me, but it's entertaining. And that's all I wanted out of this was just another season of entertainment.
Yeah, I think it's like three distinct shows. And to answer this question for myself, like one show I think is very good, one show is fine, and one show is actively bad. And what I would like from the second season is to be sold on the actively bad part, namely anything involving the teenagers. I think that is something barely related to like the main thrust of the show. I think they suck at it in general. Like they have a real good sense of how these kids interact with each other and how their parents interact with them. But they have no idea how teenagers talk to each other or are able to make teenagers interesting in this setting at all. So that was mainly my hope. But I would agree that I do think this show is pretty fluffy in general. It's not necessarily about a lot. It's just a fun, good time that capitalizes on 80s nostalgia that is all the rage. And in that vein, has anyone seen It?
I have.
No.
I think It is a far superior trip down memory lane as far as the 80s-ness of it goes than Stranger Things, even with like the best stuff. It does have Finn Wolfhard in both. He's playing a very different character in It. But
that's Will or Mike?
Mike is Finn Wolfhard.
Those two characters, they look way too much alike. That's we talked about this. Brendan kept saying, like, I don't know which is which.
If you had to compare it and Stranger Things, Bobby?
I think it's the better piece of work, but I think Stranger Things is generally more entertaining and there's more fun to it. I don't know.
I would probably agree with that. I mean, is this show even supposed to be scary at this point?
I feel like it had moments. I've heard people say that they think it's scary, and that blows my mind every time. Yeah. I've never been scared by this show, and I don't think that's the point. I don't know.
Maybe at certain points in the first season. Maybe.
I think it's more sci-fi than anything, right? Yeah. Like, more of the, like, E.T. vein in a lot of ways, where it has, like, that supernatural or that otherworldly element to it, but it's not necessarily a quote-unquote scary movie.
I mean, on the other hand, a whole bunch of people died.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything is totally fine. Everyone is ready to look the other way and do a half-hearted salute like Mike's dad, and just, this never happened.
I think it's kind of scary movie light if you're not used to watching horror films or scary movies.
Then yeah, it's like Goosebumps.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or kind of like Walking Dead. I hear people say Walking Dead is scary. I don't understand that at all. But yeah, I've also watched way too many horror movies. So.
Compared to It, which... I mean, for me, and Bobby, feel free to chime in, I thought it was horrifying.
You were really spinning this into an It podcast.
Yeah, we're going to talk about It. It is,
I really enjoyed it.
No, I did. I think it was much more terrifying than we'll ever see in this. I don't know. I hate clowns, and it's probably because of the original It. But this was definitely more frightening than the original one for me.
See, like, the It sidebar continues. Is the original It even that scary? Because, like, you see clips with...
Oh, God.
Tim Curry, and it's I mean, I hate to say clownish, but it kind of is.
Like, there's still something terrifying about the idea, because it was the first time that anyone put that clown in that rain gutter. And, like, that is a terrifying...
Is Tim Curry the clown?
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's so campy.
You guys really... We talk about Tim Curry so much.
And he comes up way more than I feel like
I love Tim Curry. And that's why.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Tim Curry is amazing.
I should just do a Tim Curry podcast.
I would love to do a Tim Curry podcast. Are you kidding me? Hours. You could get hours of solid commentary.
Tim Curry is one 80s icon that is not in Stranger Things. But a different 80s icon is in Sean Astin, who I feel like he did not audition for this part at all. I feel like... the Duffers were like, hey, Sean Astin, you're an integral part of the 80s, and you were in a key piece of cinema that we are ripping off every week, or not every week, but every episode. How would you like to join our show? And, I mean, he's not doing a whole lot lately, so they're like, yeah, sure, why the fuck not? He plays Bob, a giant nerd who's dating Joyce, and I really like him 3 episodes in. He's just a sweet, nice dude.
I buy that character, and, too.
Yeah.
Like, I buy it whole hop, like, working at the Radio Shack, been in love with this woman since they were in high school, kind of stuck around, and is just, like, trying his darndest to get in with this family.
Sure. So. I feel like Joyce has probably had a lot of bad relationships in her past, and this is the opposite of that.
Right.
I attempted to overanalyze Bob at first and kind of thought maybe he was working for the other side.
Yeah, so did I. No, I'm with you on that one.
Like, he's too good to be true.
Yeah, like, he was too good to be true. Like, he was so loving, so caring. He wanted to do good for Will. It just seemed a lot to me, maybe. Or maybe I just wanted his character to be more than it was.
He does seem to be taking an interest in Will a lot.
Yeah.
You know, but the way they frame, like, the Will scene, when Will's actually confronting, you know, the monster. I mean, sure. We'll get to that. But they just the way they frame that, and they give the quick snaps of,
yeah,
and Bob, it made it feel or seem like we shouldn't trust Bob at that moment.
I thought it was just bad editing.
I thought it was done on purpose that we were supposed to. I don't know. I don't know if anything in this show is done on purpose.
Yeah, you guys know. Yeah. And that had not, I'll admit that had not occurred to me, but it makes sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I was right or wrong.
Sure. Very coy.
Yeah.
We go back to this a lot, I think, when we talk about Game of Thrones and, like, the level that shows are operating on. And this show has the potential, had the potential, I will say, to operate on a very, like, highbrow level. But that's not what the show is. That's not what they want to be doing with it. So that's not what they do. So I think that this idea that it could be a part of the lab and there could be this deeper plot would be plausible, but it's not at all what the Duffer brothers are doing.
It doesn't seem necessary. Like, they're already keyed on everyone's phone, and they've got a guy planted in whatever their last name, Byers, in the Byers house. Yeah, it seems like too much.
Right. From also just another plot line you have to keep track of.
Sure.
And there's not a lot of time.
Yeah, absolutely true. Someone I expected to see more of in the first three episodes, but has yet to make a reappearance, is the conspiracy theorist, whose name I don't remember, played by fantastic alternative comedian Brett Gelman.
Murray, I think his name.
Great, so many things. Yeah, I didn't catch his name. I don't remember.
Is his last name Murray or first name Murray?
First name, I believe.
He seems very of the era. Mm-hmm. UFOs.
Tinfoil hat.
Yeah, Star Wars, the Russians are coming, that kind of stuff. Star Wars meaning like missile defense, not Star Wars like Force and Jedi's and all that. I mean, I only mention him because I love Brett Gelman.
So you're interested in seeing more?
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to do something ridiculous, of which probably he won't because I doubt he's in like creative control this like as like a tertiary character. But you know, I can hope. The big addition, as far again, the kids are the best part of the show, and the big addition to the kids is Max, a red-haired like punk girl, and her fun brother, in quotation marks, Billy. Max seems very much like the girl from It. They may very well have had that in their mind when they cast this character and wrote this character. I don't know where Billy is coming from necessarily, like what his archetype is.
Maybe just bad the out-of-timer. 80s bad boy. Yeah. He reminds me of the bad boys in like 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink, all of those shows.
Weren't they
just
asshole jocks though?
Yeah.
You got to remember,
he's a mulleted piece of shit.
Mullets he's a jock? Cool. Did you not see that basketball scene?
I saw it.
No, mullets are cool in the 80s, man.
And that earring and those
Then why doesn't
jeans?
Steve Harrington have one? Because he kind of
does.
Bus. He's got like the opposite of a mullet. Like he's partying in the front.
He's got some party in the back.
Maybe he just hasn't had a haircut.
It's the curliness of a mullet that I think makes it offensive, if I'm being completely honest.
He looks
like Billy's.
It's too Billy Ray Cyrus. Billy's is too Billy Ray Cyrus. Whereas I feel like Steve Harrington's is more Dustin Hoffman.
I feel like
Dustin Hoffman. Who's the guy from Baywatch?
Hasselhoff.
Thank you.
Literally, we were a total blank. We were all like,
you leave that silence in. No.
I feel like people in a 30,000-ish person town in Indiana would recognize white trash when they saw it. Mm-hmm. And it's Billy.
Yeah.
And he's not, like, speaking from my personal experience, like, the white trash is not the center of high school.
So let me ask you this, though. Because isn't the Byers kids are kind of supposed to be the white trash of this universe, right? So it's interesting to look at, I mean, just appearance wise, if you put Jonathan, who looks 45,
I agree completely.
Next to
this is, that's probably
Could be all the drugs.
It could be.
Like in his real life?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about that.
But no, I mean, like you put them next to each
other. TMMMC. Let's talk about the actor that plays Jonathan's drug problems.
Because do we have his address on file? Should we get Blair up here?
I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt, Megan, but yes, he does look very old. And I think that's why I have a hard time connecting with the teenagers, because like the kids are the correct age. And this is just the thing that always happens whenever you have teenagers. Like if we don't have to hire minors, like 16 and 17-year-olds, then let's hire people that we can work 60-some hours a day. I get it from a commercial standpoint, but it always takes me out of it.
Well, Nancy looks like a teenager, though.
Yeah, but she's hanging around with Steve Harrington, who is probably 26.
Yeah, his character doesn't look that old to me.
That's... Well, not when you put him next to, I think that Billy and Jonathan both look very old.
Billy's appearance bothers me more than Jonathan's appearance. But also, I don't get the white trash thing from Billy.
No,
really?
With like the muscle car and the mullet, and I feel like
the muscle car thing doesn't read white trash to me. They're from California, so I feel like that was like a cool like.
I get white trash.
I think he fits immediately into the world. First of all, like he is someone that would live in this town.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if they're trying to sell that he is an out of town kid who doesn't want to be there, I think it's a complete failure.
Okay, but did he ever act like? Well, yeah, he does act.
Yeah,
he is angry that he's there. He's so angry he almost ran over a bunch of adolescents.
I mean, I think it goes back to that like new kid in town. Like if it's a small town, like anytime a new kid comes in, I think that there's always a stir about it. There's always a little bit of a hubbub. It shakes things up. And if he is supposed to be from California, which I don't buy, they could have done a much better job making both of those characters more stereotypical 80s California 90210 kind
of. The most generous I could be is like blue collar big city. Like they're from Milwaukee.
Detroit would be great, actually. So like my mind goes to like Sunshine and Remember the Titans. That is a very believable California kind of guy. Or even the kid in Hocus Pocus. Like the
Megan's watched it like six times last week.
So.
You're talking about Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker would make it's the same hair texture.
We spent a long time on this.
Sorry.
Poor Billy.
We'll revisit Billy, and I'm sure he has, I don't know, either.
Oh, there's a scene coming that you're going to just love.
Yeah. Maybe he'll save the day like Steve Herring did last season. Maybe he will get the shit kicked out of him like those bullies. That 11, I feel like she broke their arm or something. Yeah, happened. Okay, I don't know. Either way. Yes.
Yeah.
The final new character we're going to talk about is Paul Reiser's laboratory official, who is subbing in for Matthew Modine, who I feel like got his brain melted last season in this fun, delightful show about superpowered teenagers. Is that right? Is he dead?
We don't. I mean, I don't know that it's ever been clearly defined. Yeah, it's never been clearly defined what happened to Papa, just like it was never clearly defined what happened to Elle after at the end of last season.
So open.
I mean, I'm not convinced one way or the other on his fate.
I feel like it'd be smart to leave his storyline open if they're going to continue with this series, because then they can bring him back.
But whether Matthew Modine is still around or not, Paul Reiser is fitting in nicely in that spot.
He didn't age great.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been like 30 years, and he's like, he's got all that Mad About You money.
He's still mad about you, yeah.
After you've got all that, like, do you really need to take care of yourself anymore?
It took me like 3 episodes to realize that was Paul Reiser, so.
Yeah. I think, though, that he is a very interesting character to put in that role, because whereas it was so clear last season that the Papa character was bad and evil, with this guy, you're kind of wondering the whole time, like, is he, like, whose side is he on? Like, what is his role here? I think that was an interesting storyline to put in, that, like, maybe not everybody in the lab is purely evil and, like, out to look after their own self-interest.
I mean, like, his casting, I don't think it's as egregious as Sean Astin, but he's there for aliens. He's there because of aliens. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to pretend to be the nice guy, and he'll eventually reveal himself to be ruthless, and he'll lock someone in a room with an alien egg. Or whatever DART is. Going to the beginning of the second season, there is the introduction of Ace and her buddies. I don't know how I feel about this. I am initially skeptical. It's a broadening of the universe. If there is an 8, then there must be a 1 through 7 and a 9 and a 10 as well. By just showing her on camera, like, I could have just assumed that. But now they've shown her and they give a shit and thinking about it, obviously. Maybe this is more than the series can handle. Introducing this whole alternate universe, I feel like they're thinking about spinning the show off at this point. Just with one tiny cold open.
I mean, the sci-fi stuff just doesn't do it for me. That's a personal thing.
I'm the opposite. I care more about the sci-fi stuff. Don't care about. I mean,
but what does the sci-fi stuff even mean? Like the alternate universe?
I was more
upside down specifically.
Yeah,
whatever's going on.
And there. I say that based on how I felt about it in the first season.
Okay.
I'm not going to go further than that. Fair enough.
Yeah, but I mean, I was so excited when they introduced her in the cold open, and then so bummed
they
when
just
she
dropped
disappeared.
Her. Yeah.
So she just.
Well, I get what they're doing there. It's just like, this is hanging out there.
But how long is it appropriate to hang it out there?
This is a good question.
I hate that relationship in this.
It's really terrible.
It's really uncomfortable.
I'm not a Hopper fan.
I don't dislike him. I just dislike their relationship. He's unnecessarily cruel to her. And Megan and I talked about this a lot. It's just uncomfortable to watch.
I feel like he is acting on behest of the government as well. Like, he's her jailer in many senses.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like the worst place to be necessarily, but she certainly doesn't have.
But, like, what did they talk to him about when they picked him up in the car at the end of the first? Do you remember that part?
I mean, I do think he is. He's not. I don't think he's keeping her locked up because the government told him to.
No, I think he thinks he's helping her for sure. Like, I think that he is well-intentioned in what he's doing, but I think that his character is completely broken with what it was in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recognize those two characters side by side anymore. And maybe that is because he's working more with the government in the second season, but he seems like, so whereas last season there was that underlying sympathy that you had for him and that underlying softness that he had based on what happened to his daughter, all of those like softer edges seem to have just been sharpened a ton this season. And he is just
a dick.
Cruel, almost. Yeah,
I think the show, to their credit, realized that this is a fairly inappropriate, unfair relationship between the two of them. Like, he's recreating exactly what you said, like, with his daughter,
mm-hmm.
irrespective of what Elle has to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not crazy about how it played out, like, the pacing of it, just mm-hmm. so much long. Backstory, and so, yeah, and backstory that doesn't need to have happened a year ago. Like, what if he just recently found her? And
well, the backstory
of... Just the idea of her in a cabin for almost a year, that seems like way too long, honestly. Like, she can bend stuff with her mind.
The flashbacks of him finding her seemed unnecessary. I'd rather see a flashback of... I'd honestly rather see more of the eight stuff mm-hmm. and see flashbacks of that than see flashbacks of Hopper finding Elle in the woods. That's obvious to me. He obviously found her in the woods. I don't need to see it.
Yeah, completely agree.
Yeah.
It's just not, very dramatic.
Right.
Anything that's happening. Especially, beyond the inevitable, I don't want to be here anymore.
Especially for a show that utilized flashbacks, I thought, in an effective way last season.
This season,
they have so failed on the flashback.
It's just the Hopper and Elle stuff so far, right?
So far, yeah.
Okay.
I think that they used flashbacks effectively, both timing and plot wise last season. And there haven't been flashbacks where I've wanted flashbacks, and there were flashbacks where I didn't need them this season, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, every time they flashback in this season, I kind of groaned a little. Like, I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
That really speaks to how little is going on in the present.
Right.
Which is kind of sad.
Right.
the character who's having the most stuff happen to him is Will, who is continuing to be plagued by his visions of the Upside Down. Last year, we talked about what we thought was going to happen, what we kind of hoped was going to happen. I put forward that I hoped it was going to be like The Thing, where people gradually got infected by whatever Will is infected with, and you can't tell who is and who isn't infected. Maybe it still might go down that way. Would be a different reference than has been referenced previously, but mainly he's just having these visions and of the Cthulhu other god crazy thing that's whatever it is, who knows? I have no sense of it. And the creature that he barfed up last year into the sink has presumably the same creature, different creature. What? You can't say.
He seemed to recognize it as the same one.
Yeah.
Or something similar, he called it, whatever.
He's like, guys, wait a second. He, like, licks its back. It's like, yes. Yes. I barfed that up.
You're talking about Dart?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think that I was kind of curious at the end of last season if this actor was going to be able to keep up with the other kids, because I thought the other kids were so good. And I think he has, to me, pulled so far in front of Mike, even.
A question of what did they need him to do last year, and he just wasn't able to do much of anything.
Yeah, but the vision things, like, again, I mean, well, I'm sure we'll touch on this too, how the kids are still the best actors in the whole series, but I find his reactions and his thought process very, very believable.
Better than Millie Bobby Brown as the season goes
forward. Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. He's the standout, I think, of the whole series for me right now.
A lot more innocence than the other kids.
Too. Yes, mm-hmm.
He like looks younger. He's a little bit smaller. I don't know.
To the show's credit, like, they recognize that and have him chafing against everyone being protective of him, which is utterly natural and right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are we going to talk about Dustin finding Dart in the trash can?
Sure.
And how, and I just want to know, Sir Pounce, Muse, which one's the better name? Because I love Muse is a great name for a cat, too.
Sir Pounce
is a pretty famous cock blocker, so
that's
a big part of his appeal.
Also knighted. Muse is not. We do.
Dustin was playing a lot of that King's Quest game.
He never did a
baseball bat knighting with his cat.
Maybe not because it's like attached to his mom.
Yeah.
24/7.
Dustin doesn't like that cat, whereas Tom and Sir Pounce had a connection.
I don't know. We never saw Sir Pounce again.
After he ate Tom.
So why?
You might have.
so gross. I hate you guys so much. Fucking stupid.
In with the teenagers, the main thrust is that Nancy is just guilty over Barb. I made a big deal about Barb last season. I don't know. I feel like it was all costuming.
Everyone not
she
in the
somehow
show.
Got
everyone
a goddamn Emmy nomination, which still just really irks at me. I don't have any idea why. It just bugs the shit out of me that she's given it.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally just because of the public reaction to her. Otherwise, I think the Duffer brothers would have been more than happy to just let Barb slip into the abyss and we would never talk about her again.
Yeah, we said that while we were watching it. I said, if not for the uproar over Barb, we would have never heard her name again. She would have just floated off.
What would we be doing with Nancy right now?
That, and that's what, what would have, I was about to say that. And then, so then what would be Nancy's storyline? I have no idea.
It would still be the love triangle between her and Steve Harrington.
But what would
Jonathan
they be doing?
God, I don't know, being teenagers, hopefully, like smoking cigarettes and drinking at parties.
So, there's so little there with the teenager. And I rightly gave the show shit for like, nobody cares about Barb, obviously.
You need
but now they care too much.
You need to hold on. You need to
strike them.
I am really interested where you end up on the teenagers at the end of the season.
Okay. I mean, I want to have my mind changed.
Right.
But at this moment right now,
it's more of the same.
Yeah. Like, Steve Harrington was hanging around with the two worst people in the world last year. And we're supposed to believe now that he's like the former king of the school. Oh. And now Billy is the king of the school. Billy? I don't understand. I just don't understand. Like, we watched Billy play basketball and Steve play basketball. This is Indiana. It's a very important part of the culture in Indiana. This is not, it's not just a trope from Hoosiers. It's an important part of the state. There are basketball goals lining driveways from Gary to New Albany. Why can't they get it right? It just bugs the shit out of me. It bugs the shit out of me. Anything set in Indiana, that's just how
they're
you
talking
create
about how they're playing or
how,
like
just doing any kind of research into your setting. That's what you would find.
I don't know.
Is that people in Indiana love basketball.
Yeah.
They just did so little research.
But like you're saying they were playing poorly or
I mean, at least they were playing. It was PE. They were doing what their coach told them to do.
Yeah.
But just, the playing of it.
Okay.
Just like Steve Harrington, Mark Jackson style, backing him all the way down the court. It's unclear where any other player is in like space or time. And they're just chatting with each other while he's posting up from the 3-point line. It seems
you're
like
just to
they don't
out
know
that
how to
hair
play basketball. It's a small thing. It's a nothing scene. It's probably gotten, I have to hope it has nothing to do with the rest of the season, because who gives a shit about who was at the top of the social ladder at Hawkins High School. But it just speaks to a level of laziness
I don't think
in the show.
I think that
or any show.
The teens are definitely drawing to that teen movie aspect of the 80s, and I think that was an idea that was pitched when they were first writing the show, and somebody said that's a good idea, and they just haven't been able to bring that fruition.
They can't write them out, but
for some reason they just can't let them go either. And I think this season the reason they can't let them go is because people were so obsessed with the Barb storyline and what happened to Barb and, you know, all of these other things. But it was just a half-baked idea that's never really, and so they just kind of try to throw as many stereotypes at the wall as possible, and none of them are sticking.
It's just so boring. Like, Jonathan is still nice-guying the shit out of Nancy.
But like,
why?
And eventually, he's going to start his own men's rights group at some point. I took this girl home, and I didn't do anything to her. Why didn't she like me? Go fuck yourself. You're a boring character.
Well, he probably
you
has
have
to.
No recognizable, you have no recognizable relationship with your little brother. I don't buy it. You look 50. I don't understand the point of any of this.
Also, like, have we forgotten that he took pictures of her without her consent.
You cannot talk to this boy anymore, Nancy.
Like, I still I don't like John and I don't like Steve. Like, I don't, and I see people coming around. Like, I've seen multiple posts on Facebook when this season came out about whatever Team Steve and whatever Go Steve, and I still fucking hate them.
I mean, that's the thing is argue more interested in their short-term actions, and is that like gratifying to you, or are you more interested in who they are as people? Or with the kids, I think you're genuinely enamored to these characters as who they are as people. You know, like you can see yourself in them, and they're interesting characters, and they have that development behind them. Even though the teenagers, I think, have moments where I find myself really pulling for them or interested in them, the character development has just never been there. And I think it's jarring in contrast to a group of children who are such good actors, who have that development there and that camaraderie and that chemistry with each other, to see that next to the teenagers it just only magnifies the issues with that plot line, I think.
Yeah, I think where the Duffer's interest is with the kids, and and the teens are just extra.
Yeah.
And I hope to be proven wrong, or to have some counter evidence given to me by the show. Through 11 episodes, I've yet to see any. Last thing, we mentioned 11. I don't know if we need to talk more about her. She escapes. She sees Mike. She sees New Kid Max. She's off doing her own thing. I don't know. Like she's gaining new powers. Like she can throw herself into the Upside Down and very iffily teleport herself to a young teen boy's solitary basement room, which I feel like could have gone horribly wrong. We've all been watching Big Mouth lately, and this is a different show. Let's just say that.
Different kind of monster.
There's also the plotline of Hopper investigating this rotting pumpkin farm situation.
Maybe Will barfed up some other creature, and it's giant now.
Yeah.
And it's dark as this little baby, and it likes to eat pumpkins in the meantime. And treats.
Who doesn't like to eat?
I mean,
just a basic bitch, that part.
With the final scene, we can see that the two worlds are basically colliding still, so it just seems like whatever from the Upside Down is just spilling into the town.
I never understood how Will, you know, is that I don't understand if he's teleporting between the two worlds or if it's happening at the same time. Am I jumping ahead?
Well, the Upside Down is a mirror world of the current world.
But
so whatever's happening,
like,
I think it's similar to maybe even like if we want to go back to Game of Thrones analogies, which I think we all do, but it's very similar as to when the White Walkers touch Bronn, right? After that moment, they're then able to have a different kind of connection with him.
He's fluid between the worlds. They're happening at the same time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Parallel? They're having it at the same time.
Yeah. It's just confusing how he's able to like slip in and out.
Because, yeah, I see what you're saying.
I would like to know more. How?
Yeah. So if you're standing on a puddle and somebody's standing next to you and they're not on a puddle, you can see yourself like in real life and you can see yourself in the puddle, but the person next to you can't see themselves in a puddle because they're not standing on one.
Yeah.
Will's standing on the puddle. Nobody else is.
Did you find that on the internet somewhere?
No, I just came up with it in my head. Fuck you. Are you fucking kidding?
I don't know.
It did sound, I mean, yeah. I was like,
no,
how did
that
you
sounds totally
that
fine.
So
yeah, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you read like a Vanity Fair interview with that.
Are you on a puddle
know.
Right now? Do you?
No.
Are you seeing a smoke monster thing?
I came up with a good analogy and
know.
It can't be original.
I don't know if Finn and
Wolf, well, I mean,
you're
not
in
the club, so we don't know. I mean,
like tight buds or anything. Or you and Jonathan are hanging out inappropriately because he is twice your age.
That's true.
She doesn't have curtains, so he's
probably
taking pictures of me. She's an easy target at this point. Jesus Christ.
So, character stuff. Kids continue just every aspect. I buy every aspect of their dynamic. Even with the new kid, I think the new kid is a fine addition.
Mm-hmm.
That Caleb and Dustin are not fighting over.
Caleb? No, that's Lucas.
Oh.
What did I?
Caleb
is his real name. Caleb is his name in real life.
Okay.
Lucas and Dustin.
Got it.
They're competing for her attention, but the other half of the group is interested. Mike for his own reasons, and Will because he's got other stuff going on. I like that they're not just all immediately going to war over who's gonna be dating this girl or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mike and Will's relationship. It just feels very honest and very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin, I will take back what I just said about not having any problems with it. Dustin's too dumb with Dart. You just went through something very recently that you had no idea what was happening and got it way out of control. Maybe this falls under the same umbrella. He should think of that.
I think it's the kid in him. He's just excited. Yeah, I know it just happened, but I think he's just like, cool, a thing in the trash, and it's my pet. And
I mean, it goes back to the conspiratorial part of it. They should be talking about this all the time.
He's got that shitty cat. He's trying to get something cool going on.
They both like Nugget.
Yeah, it's important that they have that in common. Segue.
It's really dumb.
Segue.
Really dumb. So there was, I feel like, a very important discussion in Stranger Things about Halloween candy. Where do Three Musketeers fall in the ranking? What is the ranking in general? This could go on indefinitely, but let's have the conversation by just talking about the worst Halloween candy. And I'll start by throwing out Smarties.
Smarties
aren't that bad.
Love Smarties.
Smarties also are awful.
I'm going to throw out.
They have been packaging sweet tarts in the exact same way, and I don't know why anyone would eat a Smarties again ever.
Oh my God. That's offensive. Mm. But also, I'm going to throw out something Megan and I have been talking about a lot. When was the last time you saw a Smartie in real life outside of Halloween? Like, never. Halloween is their time to shine, Kissel.
It's the only thing they have.
Maybe this candy shouldn't exist along with Tootsie Rolls. You don't see a Tootsie Roll
outside of Halloween.
I feel like those giant bags of like third tier candy are available all the time.
Tootsie Pop too. They happen every now and then.
Yeah. I like a Tootsie Pop.
Sure, those are solid. But like if not Smarties, then the standard chocolate Tootsie Roll, I feel like, is in the running.
What?
God. You're incorrect.
What kind of candy do you guys like?
You're incorrect.
You know what I hated getting was Twizz.
If that's what you don't like, I don't understand what kind of candy. I'm baffled. I'm baffled by this.
I don't know what to tell you.
I enjoy pro Smarties, pro chocolate.
I love the Smartie. I would trade for Smarties.
You know what mine is?
Some little 13-year-old kid thought you were a sap.
And that's fine.
How do you feel about the colored Tootsie Rolls?
Those are great. I love those.
Yeah, we did have this conversation.
But the chocolate ones are terrible.
They get stuck in your teeth.
For me, Whoppers were always
gross.
Wait, so what do you like?
Because no, that's what I'm saying. Whoppers are like the worst. Candy. No, like, I don't know
what. What did you?
I just threw out sweet tarts. You always candy bars, obviously, minis, whatever.
Any candy bar.
I think, yeah. I can't think of.
Do you like Nougat?
Three Musketeers are not ideal, but they're fine.
Yeah,
100 grand for
100 grand. Yeah. You know what's really
definitely
good?
Definitely not top three.
This wasn't around when we were kids, but those peanut butter Snickers are where it's at.
I don't know that I've ever tried one of those. I feel like past a certain point, you can't buy a candy bar anymore.
It's not at Halloween. You can.
So what is your least favorite then?
I don't like a Twizzler.
You don't like a Twizzler?
No.
Bobby?
The Twizzlers are great straws for Icy's at the movies.
Oh, my. That is graduate level.
It is. The black and orange peanut butter kisses things.
Mm-hmm. Those things, like the Mary Jane.
Yeah, my grandma loved those.
Your grandma's the worst. We already know that. Your whole family.
Well, she's dead.
But no, those are the absolute worst candy ever created, Halloween or not.
What about the pretzels? The houses that gave out the pretzels.
So there was.
I didn't have that experience.
I grew up in the Bible Belt, and this is how you know, because there was one house that gave out erasers with Bible verses printed on them in my neighborhood. Yeah.
That's when you graduate from...
Set to erasing the Bible with that.
That's when you graduate from egging to full-on arson.
Yeah, so that was pretty rough, but the house next door to them gave out mini candy bars. So that was
mini or full-size?
Nobody in my neighborhood gave out full-size.
I mean, oh, that's a shame.
I didn't have fabled full bars either.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember going with a friend.
She said there was like full bars in that neighborhood. We never found them though.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have caramel.
We had a lady give full bars and she like made apple cider.
Apple cider?
Yeah, she would give out cups of hot apple cider and full candy bars.
It's like a good way to poison a kid.
Yeah, that would never happen these days.
No, not now. But I mean, back then we would go when it was actually dark out.
Yeah.
You don't like Smarties?
They're disgusting.
It's just sugar.
You're right that Whoppers are worse.
Thank you.
Whoppers are terrible.
Whoppers are awful.
We've established three candies that I don't like.
I actually don't hate Whoppers.
Okay, right up in there. You don't the hate texture Whoppers? Is
so I don't strange. Hate them. Like, I don't love them, but I don't hate Whoppers.
You ever try to suck on one until it just gets like a little sponge?
Oh. I think Bobby's right about the worst of the worst is those. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like I got like a visceral like.
Yeah. I think they're called like Mary Janes or something like that. But yeah, they it's are like Mary Jane
peanut butter kisses. And
but they were like only for Halloween, and they're like circle, and they have like the twisty side. They are
for all year round, according to my grandma.
Like that and those Werther's caramel, the hard caramel.
Those are fine.
Those are what you find in the bottom of grandma's purse. Always. Those where do we land on candy corn? Right.
Candy corn's
horrible. Gross. Yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's only good for attaching to your teeth to make bigger teeth, but not eating.
With candy corn and those little meringue pumpkins or whatever they are, I always feel like I'm one bad sneeze from like inhaling them. Just like the residual flavor that, or the residue or whatever it is that sticks around in your mouth after.
Like, candy corn is the thing that you
it's
eat.
Happened to me before. Like I have sneezed in close proximity to eating one of those pumpkins, and
it's simply. It's really simply bad. Edible wax. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I feel like every time I eat candy corn, I eat one, and I'm like, why am I eating this? But then you find yourself, like, still eating
them. I use candy corn as decoration, like Halloween decoration.
Oh, yeah. I have one in a jar.
Make a necklace out of it.
Only if you can touch them.
So, back to Stranger Things. Through three episodes, it is still very much laying plot track. There hasn't been a lot of time for character development. Like, and even with the eight episode season last season, there was still time for like a whole just the kids on their own episode. I want to say like with the bullying and with the breaking of the supermarket and just a low key type of thing. And that very much seems to be where we are in these first two episodes. Like. Just ramping up, which I guess is fine. Like that's a typical television season, but like compared to the season last year, where Will is abducted in the first episode and Eleven breaks out, and there was just a lot more momentum. Mm-hmm. Whereas this season, through three episodes, is doing the Netflix thing of nothing, 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 cliffhanger, 5 seconds until the next episode. Which, by the way, is an obscene amount of time to automatically go to forcing the next episode on me. Let me digest a little bit. Give me the whole credits at least. It used to be like 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think in a first season, though, in a first episode of a first season, they really have to hook you in and get you? So that's why so many things happen. And they've already got us now. They don't have to hook me in the first episode. I'm going to watch it no matter what. Whereas in the first season, if nothing had happened, I would have maybe given up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just different.
I will say
if
we're talking about formatting, though,
someone's got to.
The cliffhanger thing drives me batshit crazy.
It drives me crazy, but I also love it. It drives me crazy because I just
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. It works.
I considered starting the next episode last night.
Yeah. I mean, every time, like the end of episode 3 is where he inhales this.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I was like, God damn it. Like screamed out loud.
I'm going to edit this episode and I'm probably going to watch it.
Yeah.
I think it bothers me a lot because it feels like something about TV where you have the condensed or the like packaged hour at a time is what I enjoy about TV more than movies. Otherwise, it's just, I mean, at this point, it's just a 10-hour long movie.
Like you're saying you like in a regular TV where you get the hour, you wait a week, you simmer on that.
Not just that way of watching TV, but that format of writing episodes as individual packages is, I could barely tell you a show that still does that.
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy is still going strong. It's good again.
Is going strong a word? It can't be
no,
good
No, it
again.
Is. It's got good again.
Again,
I have no doubt.
It goes through waves.
I have no doubt the Duffers consider this a 9-episode movie.
Right.
I have no doubt.
Right, absolutely. But, I mean, even Game of Thrones, like, there is more – I feel like they're more complete segments than they are in a Netflix series. And
for sure.
Like, I've been watching Mindhunter, which I would love to talk about. But Stop it.
What was that noise?
Just a no.
I thought it was like a no.
I mean, we got a full podcast late.
Yeah, anyway. But I find myself, and sometimes in Stranger Things too, where like because you're not getting the last week on snippets at the beginning or because you're consuming it so quickly, something will happen. And I think that you lose a little bit of, well, wait, like, why is that happening? Or what are they talking about? Because you're just binging on it. It's like trying to drink from a water hose in a lot of ways. And I think that it allows the people like the Duffers to get real lazy.
The analogies today are just the puddle, the water hose.
Drinking from a water hose is a very common analogy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or drinking
from a fire hose. Might be.
Fire hose.
she tried to spin it in her
yeah.
own thing.
Yeah. The puddle wasn't yours.
The puddle wasn't what? Was
came up with the puddle.
Trademark.
So that's pretty much it for these first three episodes. Any movie references we want to call out, like with Will getting tested, that brings me back to The Exorcist, mm-hmm. which I only saw that movie for the first time a few years ago. And it was sold to me as this horrifying, never be the same kind of movie. And if you think exorcisms in general are bunk, then it's not going to work on you. And it didn't for me for that reason.
Do you believe in exorcism?
Of course not.
That was a joke.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What is scary about that movie is the medical procedures. Mm-hmm. Because they show in that movie very effectively how powerless they make a person feel and how you might go through all this and still learn nothing. And that is the case whether a person is or is not possessed by Satan or Legion or whatever that. What was it? Pazuzu. There it is. Like the music cues, I feel like I can't really speak to just because I'm not plugged in as much with music as I am with movies or some movies anyways. The music feels really on the nose.
I love like, it.
Really aggressive.
It is. But I think that it was better last season. I think it was much more, and that was something that I wanted to kind of talk about maybe at the end of the season. But like there were standout moments for me last season where the music I think actually helped move the plot along, especially with the teenagers. Like the highlights of all of the teenager scenes for me last season had to do with music. Like when they were playing Africa or like when they were playing that, that fucking Phil Collins song and Barb's like trying to climb out of the pool. Like the music is of the time. And I think introducing Billy and introducing glam rock to it is fun. Like the hair metal bands and stuff like that.
God, is that the only reason he looks like that? Is because that's what they wanted on the soundtrack.
Have you seen him in real life though?
I mean, he's very much like Guns. He's very Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue. Like,
feel
free to pull up a reference photo.
So it's 1984. I don't have the sense of when.
This would be the very, very, very beginning of that. So hair metal kind of started mid to late 80s. It wouldn't have been huge. It would have been an outlier, which kind of makes sense as to why you have this kid that's a little bit of an outlier that would be into it.
And if nothing else, he seems super trendy and up on all the latest tunes.
Oh, he's hip and that muscle car. But that's like another 80s trope I think that they're parading out through this character. But I find the music this season to be very disappointing compared to last season.
It feels extra, like it feels after the fact,
right? Whereas last season I think it was actually thought of. Yes. And inserted
it was better integrated into the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's like an obvious soundtrack, like with Will's body being dragged out of fake body, being dragged out of the quarry, like the David Bowie cover.
Right.
Like, yeah, that worked. That really worked.
Right.
Even if I never for a second believed that anything actually was happening there and I was sold a lie.
Yeah. I mean, I am a music person and I could not tell you one song that they played in this season. And I could name five from last.
Unmemorable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else about these first three episodes of Stranger Things?
No, Megan and I are looking at
costumes. Fun.
Not Billy the character, the actor.
Yeah,
just to be clear.
Sorry, Bobby. Say that again.
I was just going to. The costumes were fun with the Ghostbusters and Risky Business and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, just 80s callback things. So. Obviously, those were big movies at the time.
This is the shit they live for. Just pack as many references as we can possibly get into this moment.
But I buy that the kids would be would 100% be.
And that not a lot of other people even knew. I don't know. I kind of like that too. They're like, what are you? Just
there is a very sad story about Winston in Ghostbusters. Just poor Ernie Hudson getting totally overlooked. He was promised one thing and then he showed up on set and was like, you're a bus driver who just shows up midway through the movie and doesn't get any cool lines. He thought it was going to turn his life around.
Oh my God, that's heartbreaking.
Very sad.
Is that a
very
real sad. Story?
Yes.
Yeah, but that was the one that they were all arguing over. They didn't want to be him. Winston. No one wants to be Winston. And they were trying to make Lucas Winston because he's black, which, again, I buy that. I buy all of their interactions with each other, but yeah.
That's because they're kids and kids are genuine. I don't know. They're good actors, but kids too.
Yeah.
Not Jonathan. He's 55.
For as much as we've praised it.
He gets older every time.
We bring him up, he ages 5 years.
His AARP card is in the
mail. For as much as we praised it, like you mentioned the child acting in Stranger Things, I do think the acting is better here than it was in It.
I knew you were going to. I was like, we're going back to It.
It is very good. It's not one of my favorite movies of the year, most likely, but
that
as far as horror movies go, there's the ending kind of gets pretty, again, I can't beat the word clownish, but I'm going to say clownish.
I mean, it's a Stephen King movie. It ends how you expect it to if you follow his movies enough.
Yeah, I've seen Storm of the Century and one of his other ridiculous TV miniseries from the early 2000s. And yes, it ended very much like that. Otherworldly demon nonsense. Whatever. So we'll be back next week to discuss episodes 4 through 6 of the second season of Stranger Things. In the meantime, check us out on the internet at MuticaMovie.club. Like us on Facebook at Mutica Movie Club, Twitter, Mutica Movical. This week we are talking about the first phase of our Denzel Washington trio with The Magnificent Seven. That is a bad movie, and I wrote a very long review explicating why I thought it was so fucking terrible. But hopefully with...
So watch along!
Bad reviews are as fun to write as good reviews, I think. Bad movies are certainly not as much fun to watch as good movies. So it's not perfect, but there's some equivalence there at least. Hopefully, our next movie in the Denzel Washington trio, Mo Better Blues, available for rent on Amazon and iTunes and all your standard streaming services, will be much better. Spike Lee's immediate follow-up after his masterpiece in Do the Right Thing. That'll do us for this episode of the Munich Movie Club podcast. Thank you for joining me tonight, everyone.
Thanks.
Have a good night.